Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, June 14th, 2008. Tonight we're going to have a friend of mine who wrote the foreword of my book, Betty Lee Morales, do a lecture on the different things that she talks about. She's no longer on the planet, but she was amazing while she was here. And she was also, I think, a knight, knighted by the Queen Elizabeth. She was a good friend of hers. And I think you'll like what she has to say. After that, after she's finished, then we'll put on the continuation of 2 weeks ago, the Seattle talk that I was doing from 1995 about Andromeda and energies and such. We had a great, a fantastic workshop with Steve Barish and Randy Masters, and we thank Steve for being on the show last night. I'll talk to you a bit, and here we go. Testing. Here we come. Ta-dun.
Ta-dun. World traveler and a consultant on nutrition, Betty Lee Morales.
Thank you, Walter. Thank you, Walter Hodson, and it's a pleasure to be with you again. Would you just tell me by holding up your hands how many of you heard my talk yesterday? Good. Because I want to start today by saying something that I didn't have a chance to say when I finished that talk. For those of you who were not here, I spoke yesterday on a 3-day arthritis cure. And I want to urge each and every one of you to remember that if you can get rid of arthritis and the aches and pains and stiffness in 3 days, as I saw done with many people at the clinic that I spoke about, it is my firm conviction that unless those people do change their way of eating and living, that they can create the same condition again. I do not believe that a condition, that has taken years to come on and manifest is permanently removed in 3 days, and I wanted to make that clear today. Now, the next thing I want to say is something in the nature of a confession. I have for years said condemnation without investigation is certainly not only unscientific and unfair, but it's a guarantee of ignorance. And I was guilty at one time of being prejudiced about something that I since learned that I should eat my words about. And so I want to start my talk this evening about health secrets from around the world by saying that at one time when I spoke from this platform, I said, while I'm talking, I don't want that man walking around with a pyramid on his head like I'm putting on now. I said, it's just too kooky, and that's the one that the television cameras always take a picture of. Well, somebody shamed me into investigating it. He said, take one. Take one home and play with it. You know, experiment with it and see what it does. Now, I'm not here to tell you what pyramid energies are because I don't know. But I do know that experimenting with a pyramid like this, which I did many things with, I now have it over my fruit bowl at home. And I have found out that it does something, that the fruit ripens evenly and doesn't spoil as quickly. And I use it, and I want to apologize to Fred Bell, who makes these, for ever having said, I don't want that kook to walk around with a pyramid on his head when I'm talking. So I'm proud to be here with the pyramid on my head and say, let's don't be prejudiced. Let's investigate before we condemn. Because I'm also going to tell you a number of things that sound far out. And if you're going to use them in self-help, don't be prejudiced and don't close your mind. I think many of you know that we have been to 52 countries in the world. And other than going there to find out about nutrition and cancer, which was our main objective when we started, we tried to find out in each country something about the native diet. Especially where people are free of disease like they are in Hunza and where they live much longer in some more or less remote countries that are less so-called civilized than we are and where they don't have the degenerative diseases and the problems that we have, and I'm not speaking only of taxes. So as I tell you some of these things, just make a note of it and try it. And if you try with some of these things and they work and they help you, please drop me a note and tell me, because I'm making kind of a survey of anything related to energy. Most of us are aware of the energy crisis today in relation to petroleum and gasoline and electric lights and things like that. But there is a lot more to energy than just moving wheels along or pushing buttons that turn things on and off. If you don't remember anything else I say today, please remember, as I try to tell myself and remind myself every day, there is nothing, nothing, nothing in the entire universe except energy. There is nothing except energy. And man, with all of his advancement and knowledge, cannot create energy, and neither can he destroy it. But he has not only the option, but the responsibility of changing the forms of energy every moment that he lives. And every single thing that we do in the way of eating, thinking, drinking, is an energy exchange. And when it comes to food, we must realize we do not get energy from food. We must liberate the energy within the food before it can be utilized by the human body. And there's one other thing that should be said here. It's part of the equation. And that is that 5,000 years ago, the Orientals, chiefly the Chinese, taught the yin and yang principle, the principle of opposites of force. And everything in the universe has an opposite. If we didn't have positive and negative up here in these wires, we wouldn't have light. If we don't balance the energies in our bodies, the yin and yang, the positive and the negative, the acid and the alkaline, then we are not able to properly liberate the energy locked into the food we eat, the water we drink, and to properly utilize it. So another thing to remember is that the acid-alkaline balance is the most overlooked thing in modern science and modern medicine. But unless and until we understand the importance of the acid-alkaline balance, we are really not getting the best out of anything else we do, because everything is energy. And to conserve the energy that we need to live on, to breathe with, to think with, to act on, requires acid-alkaline balance. And I just want to take one other moment to say why so many people today are deficient in proper acidity. And the proper acidity I speak of is hydrochloric acid that is naturally, normally made by glands in the walls of the stomach. Because for some 50 years, we have been accelerating our use not only of synthetic agricultural chemicals like superphosphate, but also the pesticides. We are depressing the friendly bacteria activity in the soil and the earthworms. And it is the friendly bacteria that chelate or pre-digest the minerals that the earthworms bring up. And as they pre-digest them, in symbiotic relationship with an acid called humic acid that is given off by the roots of plants, then it is that the minerals can be absorbed or transpired by the plant and taken up and bound with amino acids in chlorophyll, upon which all life on this planet depends. So the trace minerals are really the mighty midgets. And when we are lacking trace minerals, we do not get the energy signals to the brain that in turn will send the message to the glands in the walls of the stomach to secrete hydrochloric acid. So remember that the acid-alkaline balance is going to determine just about everything that happens to us on a mental, physical, and emotional level. So keep an open mind. Now, we've spoken very briefly about some of the positive energies. I want to hit very quickly upon what I consider one of the most negative energies that there is today. And this relates to what we call microwave energies. I am the American representative to what is called the World Organization for Natural Medicine and Nutrition. There are members of 30 countries, and we meet in alternate countries each year and exchange information. The last time I met with this group in Switzerland, there was a young medical doctor from France, and he told about his own experience of moving out of the city of France to the country where he thought he would have better air, better working conditions, and a healthier life himself. After a few months, he began to feel so enervated and weak, he didn't have the physical energy to work the long hours that he did in the city, and neither could he concentrate very well. And he thought, well, I'm just overtired. He took a vacation, went to the seashore, and felt better. When he came back, it wasn't long till he began to feel tired and worn out and ill and irritable again. So, like a true scientist, he started analyzing the difference in his new location compared to his former location. And the only difference, other than better air and better water, which should have been helpful, was the fact that his office, which was attached to his home, was within a reasonable proximity of some of these big electric wires that they carry across the country on these high towers. That is microwave energy and shortwave energy and FM energy that they are carrying across country. And we have it all over the world now. So this young French doctor started experimenting with these microwaves. And he put animals in cages near what he called the fallout from the wires. And he kept moving them farther and farther away. He had to get new ones from time to time because they died within a short time when they were held there in cages. And as he moved them farther and farther away, he then learned how far these microwave fallout energies travel. Now, I want to speak about microwave ovens that are finding their way into the homes of Americans and into restaurants and on airplanes. What you're doing when you eat in a microwave is very likely you're eating a frozen TV dinner that's heated up in 30 or 40 seconds. What is the energy that heats it up that quickly? Well, we know it cooks from the inside out. So it first destroys the nucleus. And although I can find no record of any tests that have been done where they fed animals on food cooked in microwave oven as compared to food cooked the traditional normal way, there was one scientist that wrote me from Japan and said that a woman that they knew and they were treating her, this was a medical clinic, had a little dog she was very fond of. And she bought a microwave oven so she could prepare all the dog's food very fresh. It wouldn't eat raw food. It was a spoiled house pet and it had been brought up on canned dog food. It would only eat cooked food. So she wanted to cook it very fresh and very special. The dog sickened and died for no apparent reason. And when they autopsied the dog, they found out its intestines were lined with cancerous tumors. Now, I'm not saying that will happen to everybody who has a microwave oven, but I'm saying it is meaningful enough to me that I never eat food in a microwave oven if I can avoid it, or from a microwave oven. And you notice restaurants now, and these little snack bars that use microwave ovens, have a sign on the door as a warning to anyone who wears one of these little heart gadgets that they transplant. And if a person has a little heart transistor, a microwave oven, the energy from it can throw it off, and it could be fatal to that person. So I don't believe that's the sort of thing that will produce the best food. We know that we should eat at least 50% raw food. I don't say we should be total raw fooders like Dale Alexander, but I do believe we should eat 50% raw food, but cooked food is a part of our way of life and our cellular memory for hundreds of years. And if we balance it out, and if what we cook is unrefined, I believe that it's perfectly safe to eat a portion of cooked food. But I do believe that the microwaves are very dangerous. I don't know how many of you take our weekly newsletter called Organic Consumer Report and Organic Seeds for Thought. We don't make any money on it, so I'm not being commercial. We lose money on each one, but it's our contribution to education in relation to nutrition and to what affects our health and our life. But I did do a review on microwave energies, and if any of you want more documentation on it, you may write me and we will send you a copy of it. You can reach me through the National Health Federation or direct. So just beware of all of these gadgets that are coming on the market that do things quicker and better. It isn't always true. I'm 72 years old now, and when I was about 14, I was going to a girl's school. And my mother was a naturopathic physician. She sent a note to the school one day and said that I should be excused to go downtown to a certain address where somebody had come to bring me there. And a man named Dr. Albert Abrams was there teaching a class of doctors how to use an electronic instrument that he called a radionics instrument. And he needed a person, a human being, to be a part of the circuit by which he diagnosed conditions in patients by measuring energies. You can see why I am so interested in following through and trying to translate into everyday recognition and use the concept that there is nothing but energy. Dr. Abrams could take a little blood or a little sputum or hair or fingernails and put it into a little well that was attached to this instrument. And then he could use my body. I wore like a bikini. I always say Dr. Abrams invented the bikini for me because I refused to stand up nude in front of all these doctors. So they invented a little bikini that I wore. And he would rub an electrode over my body, and wherever the person was ill, and they might be thousands of miles away, and they had their blood in this little instrument, this machine would diagnose on my body where the illness was. And the electrode would stick to my body, and then Dr. Abrams would outline it with blue chalk. And then he could measure the energies. He had different things that he called witnesses at that time. They call them testers now. I'm going to tell you how they use it in Germany in a minute. And he could find out whether it was staph or strep or whatever the person was suffering from. And then he could pick the right herbal or medication or mineral or vitamin or whatever it was. And he did wonderful things with it, and there were hundreds of doctors all over the country that would use this instrument until one black day in our history, the FDA came in and said to the doctors that had these instruments, if you will take this baseball bat, which they just happened to have with them, and smash this instrument in our presence, we won't prefer charges against you. So the doctors, not knowing their rights, and not having the National Health Federation at that time to protect them, were foolish enough to break those instruments. Now, this was a long time ago, but the idea didn't die, and some of the doctors secluded these instruments in their attics, in their basements, and they still have them today, but they don't advertise it. We were in Europe about 10 years ago, and we went every year for a number of years. And I was absolutely amazed to see the old Abrams electronic instrument, highly modernized and sophisticated, with dials to measure things, so you didn't need a person in a bikini anymore. You just needed a patient sitting there holding the electrode. And they had different testers to put in the little well. And not only can they tell the health or vitality of every gland and organ in your body, but I was amazed when I took this test, out of curiosity, that the doctor, who was a medical doctor, highly respected, was testing me, and he said, you had the 1918 Spanish influenza, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. I nearly died. I was unconscious. All my hair came out. And he said, well, the pattern is on the architecture of your cell. I can pick it up. You don't have the flu now, but I can tell that you did have it. He went on and he said, you had whooping cough. I nodded my head, yes. And he said, you had measles. And I said, I had measles twice, two different kinds. So he checked again and he said, yes, you did have measles twice. Most people don't. And he said, did you ever have smallpox? And I said, no, I didn't. And he said, then you had a smallpox vaccination. And I had to admit I did. My mother never permitted us to be vaccinated, and I wanted to be in the graduation exercises at high school. So I left home without telling her and went down to the health department in Riverside, California, and got vaccinated. And I was duly punished for disobeying my parents because I got a high fever. I nearly died from the vaccination, and I couldn't go to the exercise anyway. But the important thing is that this doctor found all of those serums identifiable in my body. Now, the reason that it's important for me to tell you this first is to tell you that the last time we were in Germany, which was last year, this same doctor said that in every case of multiple sclerosis that he had examined and treated, he found measles in the covering of the nerves. And it can be treated out by using homeopathic remedies not permitted in the United States. But I saw people with multiple sclerosis that within a matter of 2 or 3 months were taken from wheelchairs, taken from dependency on crutches and canes, and they were jogging, and they were living normal lives. And this doctor also told me that he is finding a smallpox vaccine in adrenal glands, in lungs, in brains, in people that have other kinds of degenerative diseases. And I want to tell you something that Ida Anaroff didn't mention as far as I know, and that is that the United States government has now recognized that you do not have to have vaccinations or inoculations if it is opposed to your belief. And it does not have to be a religious belief such as the Christian Science Church, as it did until recently. The Natural Hygiene Society has a service, and for $1, they will prepare the affidavit for you that you simply deliver or mail to the school board or your employer if they require vaccinations or when you go abroad. You do not any longer have to be vaccinated. If you come from an infected area, they can require you to report to the health department during the period of time when you might develop whatever the disease was, the incubation period that's called. Or they could quarantine you if they wanted to. I've never known them to do it. But you do not have to be inoculated or vaccinated if you don't want to be. Now remember, we're going to take away with us the never forgettable concept that there is nothing but energy in the universe. If you ever have a leg cramp at night, and you know they can be very painful, all you have to do to immediately relieve that leg cramp is take your forefinger, your pointing finger, I suppose any other finger would be as good, and put it right under your nose on your upper lip like this and press. Just press and hold it. Almost instantly your leg cramp will relax. Try it. Tell somebody else it's subject to cramps. Now, when you are subject to leg cramps, it shows several things. You can be deficient in vitamin E, in calcium, in magnesium, or in manganese. Or it can be just stressful physical exercise. But to get quick relief, just remember, press your upper lip right at the tip of your nose and just hold it there. And the cramp will go away almost instantly. You are using your own bio, which means living, electrical energy to remove too much energy one place and to route it another place. it works. Now, the next time you start to catch a cold, there is something you can do. If you do it right away, will also work. It's almost miraculous. I was on a radio interview in, can't remember recently. I've been too many places. And, it was in St. Paul. Where was it?
Well, that's Betty Lee Morales there. Now we will continue on in with the second tape, which is a continuation now of the last week or 2 weeks ago. And so here we go with Dr. Bell.
Yeah, the Hickory River and destroyed the seven lakes that the Indians make their fishing money off of. Okay, he was very much involved, and he was duped by the CIA. He also got a hold of, I wouldn't have the slides on here. He also got a hold of Myrna Hansen. Myrna Hansen was one of the first ladies to be documented. I mean, you go on and watch a Jerry Springer show now, and you'll see people have been abducted by aliens. It's getting so common. But back in these days, in 1981, Myrna Hansen and her daughter were abducted by Grace. She was implanted. I have her extra photograph of her brain here somewhere. It's got two implants in it. It was found by CAT scan. And when she was implanted, he did a post-hypnosis thing on her afterwards. And found out, as this is what, as the beginning before some of these other newer guys that are writing about this now, this is the very beginning of it, before the guy, for example, at Harvard got into it, John Mack, and all these guys that are into it now. He was the first. And he retro-hypnotized Myrna Hansen one day. And when he brought her down to consciousness of being abducted, because she had missing time, and she finally found out that she was being taken up, she described the cattle mutilation, she described the implant, her own implanting process. During that hypnosis session, the Grays came into her subconscious, because they're so tuned in on one level, and started interfering with the hypnotic session and erasing stuff. So what he did is he went outside, he got an idea, and he went out and he brought her back and he took her out into what's called a screen room. He took her into a screen room. A screen room is like a room like this with copper all around it. We do a lot of times when we're tuning, like when I was in the Air Force, we would be tuning up, let's say, a transmitter to go into an aircraft that's secret frequencies. And we don't want outside frequencies affecting our tuning job. So you couldn't just tune it in the ordinary room. You had to take it into a room that simulated the aircraft as metal all the way around it and tune it in there. Okay? So he took her into a screen room and put her in there and hypnotized her in there, and the Grays didn't interfere. Okay? This is back when we were learning about our ELF stuff. So what happens is we create a screen room in your house with that device. Is that still on the board there? Let me back it up. You don't know what I'm talking about. There's lots of devices here. Can't cover them all. That one. So what we do is, let's say you're in a room. This is a room. Okay. Now ELF comes two places. Comes up through the ground into your power line. You have these plugs, you know, that look like this. Right? Say one on this side of the room and then the other one on the other side of the room. You got a plug, you got two vertical things where the socket goes in, and you got that round pin. You know about that, right? Okay. ELF comes in through that way because in submarine communications, they found, that's where it was developed, that they found that they put a stake way down in the center of the earth, like a mile or two down. It generates energy, ELF carriers through the earth strata, through the different layers of the earth, okay, through the water table. The water table is an excellent source. When you look at a generator, like a power plant somewhere, like a nuclear power plant or any power plant, a waterfall, doesn't matter, electricity is coming out in one big high-tension wire. On the other side of that power plant, they don't send two wires out of a power plant to your home. They send one and ground it, a high-tension wire. When it gets to your house or your local distribution center, then it becomes two wires, which it comes into your house, because the local distribution takes the one wire and they go into ground, okay? So the ELF comes in through here, through the ground. Okay, that's one form of, and then goes into your body. If I have time, I'll show you what it does to your body real quick. So we're running out of time. We've got like 10 minutes left. Okay, now, so then it comes into your socket. Okay, the other form is the Heart Project, where it comes directly from radiation propagated from space, which is even more dangerous. Okay, so you got to get rid of it. So what you do is, first of all, you hang this on the ceiling, and you run a wire outside the ground. This is your return wire. This is where you get rid of it. So this is an antenna. Okay. The worst shape you could be in is a square. Okay. The best shape you could be in is a pyramid, and the one in between would be a dome. Okay, or a semicircle. So what happens is these rays are bouncing all over the place. Well, this is hanging there. It collects them. It collects the rays. It absorbs the energy. It doesn't get rid of them. They're going to go through, but it absorbs them. Then it goes to ground. The next place you're getting it from is all your appliances. As soon as you turn on your radio or your, basically more like your TV or your lamps, you turn a lamp on, let's say, ELF is going through the wire up to the bulb, incandescing through the bulb, spreading out through the bulb, coming back down again. So what happens is you got to ground that light. So what you do is you go down to your circuit breakers in your house and you turn all the appliances on in that house, in that room, because you do one room at a time. So you turn all the appliances on. You see the lamp go on, TV goes on, radio goes on. Then you go down and you flip, you have somebody in the room, you flip a circuit breaker and they say, okay, this side of the room went off, this side's still on. So you flip another circuit breaker. Now that side went off. So two circuit breakers, there's two ground circuits, right? So now what you do is you take another wire and you come down here to this ground, that's one circuit, hook it to the pin wire, not the vertical wire, the little round wire. So you come down with another wire over here and you hook it into the pin wire there, and now you don't have ELF in your house. Okay, that's how you deal with it, like that. And you go room by room. And some of the houses that I've worked with in the past with people that are more in aware of this, and what it really does is we've wired these things into their house as the framework goes up. You know, that's basically, I work with contractors. We just wire the whole, this extra wire system is wired in this, and this thing is hidden somewhere in the attic, so that you can actually handle the whole house. But my case, my house wasn't built that way. I got a bunch of little wires running off of mine through different places in the house. Okay. Now, another thing, she asked what Andromedans were over there about six times. Andromedans live about 5,000 years. They come from a galaxy. What?
Well, you were talking about rays, and you were talking about the Andromedans and Pleiadians. Now, you said there are also two Pleiadians. Pleiadians and human-like.
Yeah, they're human-like. Okay, the grays look like Steven Spielberg's animals, or Communion, you know, Whitley Strieber's book Communion. They have a picture of one. Those almani, that small, you know, funny-looking skin, gray-looking skin, thin but very strong creature, usually with a kind of a strange smell to them, too, because of the way their organs work. Andromedans would look like Pleiadians, although they're more Castilian, and Pleiadians look Nordic. They look like they look like Morgan Fairchild. She's a perfect example of that kind of a nose and those kind of eyes and those kind of features. Very, very well-defined faces in the women. The men look like Swedish men, good-looking Swedish men, okay? They're bigger. The men are about 6 feet. The women are about 5 feet in Pleiadians. So, her mother is a little bit taller. But Pleiadians, women are very short and the men are quite tall, usually. Her father's medium height, about my size. The Andromedans are about the average size of people in here. They look Castilian, if you look at them visually. They look very Castilian, kind of like a tan almost. Dark hair, dark eyes, brown eyes. Pleiadians, blue eyes. Andromedans, almost always brown eyes, rarely blue. But if you took a picture of an Andromedan and you try to develop it, you'd end up with something that would look about like this. Okay? Just about as much as you'd get. Something like this. Look like a snowman or something, because of the way their aura fields are. Because they don't actually look like that. They project that. Andromedans are physical. They're energy beings. They assimilate form when they're around form. They can go out of form. Andromedans live 5,000 years average, and then they somehow dissolve themselves and come back in 5 minutes. And they completely absorb their field. This is deeper stuff. We have five seed atoms in our body. You have five atoms in your body that you've had since the beginning of creation. Five atoms. They've always been there, those characteristics. And you'll take those forever with you. And they tap into that directly somehow. Okay? Andromedans don't care about karma. It doesn't mean a damn thing to them. They're beyond karma. They're not gods. The Pleiadians aren't gods. The Andromedans are more advanced. We call them the highway patrol of the galaxy. That's what we call them. They enforce things. When some planet like Earth has a negative aura field that's radiating out into space, when some planet like Earth starts screwing around with its troposphere and its mesosphere with heart projects, starts, you know, putting nuclear warheads on Galileo spaceships and sending them out to Jupiter and all the shit we've done, they get involved real quick. And what they do when they come in, first of all, is they stabilize the planet. The Andromedans have stabilized the tectonic plates of this planet. And what they'll do, from what I hear, right, as things stand now, there won't be any big one anywhere. Okay, there's going to be a lot of small earthquakes. They'll start rattling L.A. in another month. Like this is the time of year they rattled L.A. to settle it. But there won't be any big ones unless they deem it's necessary. But what they are doing in divine intervention is they have introduced a field into the earth, and they started in 1993. They introduced the field, and they're going to sweep the earth with this field. And what it is the earth has a north pole and a south pole in its magnetic field. It's 16 degrees off true north, okay, in this hemisphere. When you have magnetism, as we spoke earlier, like the magnet of a compass, you have electricity at right angles, okay? With the electricity and the magnetism at right angles creates a third field, which is called the Seebeck effect, which you're probably not aware of. In magnetic therapy, one of the pitfalls of magnetic therapy is it's polarized. And the Seebeck effect, which is the kind of magnetism humans have, is a non-polarized magnetic field. You could look at it as a series of north and south fields occurring in micro inches rather than a north and a south. Okay, the Earth is also that way, although the Earth reads a giant field because it has a tremendous liquid molten core and it behaves like a crystal. At night when you go to sleep, you try to align yourself, because if you align yourself with this field here, by the way, this field can be duplicated in science by taking a piece of nickel wire and a piece of copper wire and spiraling it like that. And depending on the electricity, you can make this thing produce magnetism with no field. And depending on the polarity, you can make it get hot or cold. It's called Alnico. You can make it hot or cold. This is thermal. You can buy these things now that use this principle, where batteries and they have a cooler. It's just a wire in there. Okay. This is how the Earth works. Now, what the Andromedans have done, starting in 1993, they came in, they began, and this goes from zero, I think she said zero, to 4 degrees. That's all it is. What happens is, if you were to look at this field with a microscope or a magnifying glass, this is the way it would be now. Here's magnetism, okay? Here's electricity, okay? There's also this flux that's in there at a higher frequency that's exactly like that. This is called by the Tibetans the anima mundi. When you go to sleep at night, your body usually heats up, and for the first few hours you burn up 80% of your nutrition. Your electrical fields are much higher, okay, than they normally are. Okay, as you go through the night, when you go into rapid eye movement sleep, further into sleep, which is called REM sleep, you now transition from 2 inches out of your body. You know how you lay down? You lay down at night, you're laying there, and all of a sudden you get that jumping sensation. Okay, what happens is your body's decompressed, it's gone into this anima mundi sleep, and the aura is out 2 inches. It has to go out 13 feet after this, after it detoxes. 13 feet it connects into the astral plane. The astral plane starts getting a feedback. As soon as there's feedback, you start dreaming, REM sleep. What's so important about the REM sleep is that in your biological and your spiritual family, a lot of you are disincarnated. A lot of you have to have teachers. A lot of you have a lot of lessons to learn. We're all here for that. So in REM sleep, you're constantly working on the astral plane, getting all the feedback you don't get here. That keeps your sanity. You disconnect that, you go crazy. Now, what happens is, what the Andromedans did is the first phase of this. Oh, by the way, you get a jumping sensation when you sleep in a pyramid that goes away. The pyramid is a perfect shield. Everybody in here should be sleeping in one. We make them and we manufacture them. You can get our brochures. What happens is, when you go to sleep in the anima mundi field, you charge up. That's why they say go to the north. The Andromedans have shifted this field. I forget, you know, if you divide 97 into 4, whatever that number is how many degrees per year that shifts. And at the end of the year 2000, this anima mundi field will be over here. And that here, even though the Earth's magnetic field will be the same, but the anima mundi field will be over here 4 degrees. That means a good population of our planet will either be dead or dying by that time. And this really affects or afflicts people with high degrees of intellect. Okay, it strikes them quicker than anything. So what's driving our planet? Intellect off the course. So they have directly launched a change in frequency here, which they're maintaining, and that's going to kill off. Like Einstein said, the only way you can get rid of them is let them die off. The growth-resistant generation, you know. They have to go away. So these trilads and these other people that are causing all the crap are going to be dead real soon. You know, that's part of the program. There's a lot more, but I mean, that's just some of it. Okay, I got about 2 minutes. Is there any other questions you guys want? Yeah.
I would like to ask about something that I
Yeah. A tracking device?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen CIA devices that small, that radio sound transmitters that aren't much bigger than a mole. Microcircuitry.
But they're actually a part of the skin.
Well, there's all different types of devices. I don't know what all I've seen, you know. They have devices like, for example, implants that go in people's heads. They use a holographic process. And the holographic process, what the Grays use, is they project the circuitry right down inside the person's head. And the minerals in your body form the circuits. The electrolytes in the brain power it, and in your spinal cord is the antenna. I mean, I've seen that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. Not for a while. There's indefinitely postponed right now because of this other stuff that's going on here. Indefinitely postponed. Yeah, there's going to be changes. There are changes going on, but there's not going to be this giant thing and the spaceships come out of the sky. Nothing like that. People have to wallow in their own mire. Yeah.
How do guardian angels?
I don't have time. That's another seminar. But they do exist, you know. I cover that in my Laguna Beach seminar. It's a little bit of it's on the tape series. Yeah, you have to see the Pleiadians, 60% of their life they spend in horticulture because they say the next to be nature, next to nature is to be next to God. And they start with the bee kingdom. And I got most of my training from them, not about rocket ships and earth changes, but about horticulture and plants and animals and things. I mean, that's what they taught me, but I don't have the time to go into all that. Yeah.
I was wondering,
yeah, you know, you see that all goes back to putting, we found that, I developed a protein powder that you take breastfed children off the mother and put them on this, and it all starts back when they stop breastfeeding and they go on the Seagull and all them sugars. Those sugars, you know, the average person produces 3.5 quarts of glycol, a form of alcoholic and antifreeze, in their brain from 14 Pepsi Colas or whatever during the day. All the alcoholism in children at young age is from sugar addiction at infancy. That's where it all stems from, and it goes right in the DNA. And it's just as hard to kick them as an alky going to an AA meeting. There's no difference, and it's even harder because it's ingrained in their DNA. Yeah, it's not irreversible, but it's a whole other ballpark, you know. Yeah.
Do you wear your receptor 24 hours a day?
No, I just take it off at night and then I go inside of a pyramid. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard through channel sources that the DNA is being reprogrammed.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but you have to work with it because it's being reprogrammed to the negative unless you do something positive. I didn't get a chance to explain to you. Basically, what I was going to explain here, I don't have time now, it's a drawing, that ELF, in the process of absorbing protein, of course, makes hormones. What happens with ELF is that it creates negative proteins. That's why you have all this anger and stuff. And I was going to show you chemically here, but I ran out of time now to do that. You know, they're going to kick us out now because another speaker's coming in. Anyhow, we got to go. Thanks a lot.